Lesson 54, Luke 16. Introduction. Jesus taught the parable of the unjust steward. The Pharisees heard Jesus' teachings and ridiculed him. Jesus then rebuked the Pharisees and taught them the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Suggestions for teaching. Luke 16 verses 1 through 12. Jesus teaches the parable of the unjust steward. Consider bringing to class items that could represent earthly riches and power, such as money, an electronic device, a diploma, a toy car, or a picture of a house. Begin the lesson by asking, what are some items that people often set their hearts on and try to obtain? If you brought related items to class, display them as students mention them. Otherwise, ask a student to list class members' responses on the board. What are some riches that Heavenly Father wants us to seek? Invite a student to list on the board class members' responses, which may include eternal families, peace, joy, and celestial glory. Instruct the students to write the heading Eternal Riches above the list. Point out that we can enjoy some of these eternal riches in this life. Ask students to ponder which eternal riches are particularly important to them. Invite them to look for truths as they study Luke 16 that can help them obtain eternal riches. Explain that after teaching the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, the Savior taught the parable of the unjust steward. You may want to explain that a steward is someone who manages another person's business affairs, money, or property. Invite a student to read Luke 16, 1 through 2 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the rich man in the parable learned about his steward. What had the steward been doing with the rich man's goods? What was the consequence of the steward's wastefulness? He would lose his job. Summarize Luke 16, 3 through 7 by explaining that the steward worried about what he would do when he lost his job, because he did not feel he could do manual labor and was too ashamed to beg. He devised a plan that he thought might lead to job opportunities in other households. He visited two of the rich man's debtors and significantly discounted their debts, which he hoped would earn their favor. Invite a student to read Luke 16:8 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for how the rich man responded when he learned about his steward's actions. Explain that children of this world are worldly-minded people, and that children of light are followers of God or spiritually-minded people. How did the rich man respond when he learned about his steward's actions? What did the rich man commend? The rich man commended the steward's cleverness in obtaining the favor of the rich man's debtors. He was not commending the steward's dishonesty. Provide students with copies of the following statement by Elder James E. Talmage of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Invite a student to read the statement aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Savior was teaching through the parable of the unjust steward. Quote, "Our Lord's purpose was to show the contrast between the care, thoughtfulness, and devotion of men engaged in the money-making affairs of earth, and the half-hearted ways of many who are professedly striving after spiritual riches. Take a lesson from even the dishonest and the evil. If they are so prudent as to provide for the only future they think of, how much more should you, who believe in an eternal future, provide therefor? Emulate the unjust steward and the lovers of mammon, not in their dishonesty, cupidity, or selfish greed, and miserly hoarding of the wealth that is at best but transitory or temporary, but in their zeal, forethought, and provision for the future." End quote. From Jesus the Christ, page 463 and 464. What did the Savior want his disciples to learn from worldly-minded people like the unjust steward? Write the following incomplete statement on the board. If we wisely prepare for our eternal future, blank. Invite a student to read Luke 16:10 through 12 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Savior said we must do to be blessed with eternal riches. Explain that mammon refers to earthly riches, including money, possessions, and associations. What do you think it means to be faithful in that which is least? From verse 10. After students respond, add the following to the phrase on the board, and righteously use earthly riches, blank. Direct students' attention to the list of eternal riches on the board. What makes these true riches? Ask students to complete the statement on the board so that it creates a principle about how we can obtain eternal riches. Students should identify the following principle. If we wisely prepare for our eternal future and righteously use earthly riches, we can be blessed with eternal riches. Why is it sometimes difficult to wisely and diligently prepare for our eternal future? How can we righteously use earthly riches? How does our righteous use of earthly riches reflect our worthiness to be trusted with eternal riches? Note: positively acknowledge students' responses. Be sure to positively acknowledge students' responses in some way, possibly by thanking them or commenting on their answers. Doing this will help students feel listened to and validated, and can help them feel more comfortable sharing answers, insights, and experiences in the future. Luke 16:13 through 31. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and teaches the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Direct students' attention to the list on the board, or if you brought them, to the objects representing earthly riches, and ask them to ponder how coveting earthly riches can prevent us from obtaining eternal riches. Invite students to look for one answer to this question as they study Luke 16:13 through 26. Summarize Luke 16:13 and 14 by explaining that the Savior taught that we, quote, cannot serve both God and mammon, end quote, from verse 13. The Pharisees heard the Savior's teachings and derided or ridiculed him. Ask students to search in Luke 16:14 for the word that describes the Pharisees and offers one explanation as to why they ridiculed the Savior for his teachings. From what you have learned about the Pharisees, what did they covet? Earthly wealth and power? Why do you think the Pharisees' covetousness led them to ridicule the Savior? Explain that the Joseph Smith translation of Luke 16:16 through 23 in the Bible Appendix provides further insight into the exchange between the Pharisees and the Savior. Invite a student to read aloud the following summary of this translation. The Pharisees claimed that the law of Moses and other prophetic scripture, the Old Testament, served as their law, and they therefore rejected Jesus as their judge. Jesus explained that the law of Moses and the prophets had testified of him. He questioned the Pharisees for denying what had been written and rebuked them for perverting the right way. To help the Pharisees, whose hearts were set on worldly riches and power, to understand their behavior and the consequences of it, the Savior likened them to the rich man in the parable recorded in Luke 16:19 through 31. Ask three volunteers to participate in a reader's theater. Invite one volunteer to read the Savior's words, the second volunteer to read the rich man's words, and the third volunteer to read Abraham's words. Instruct these students to read aloud their parts in Luke 16:19 through 26. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the poor man named Lazarus and a rich man experienced. How did the mortal lives of the rich man and Lazarus differ? How did their post-mortal lives differ? You may need to explain that Abraham's bosom, in verse 22, represents paradise in the spirit world, and that hell, in verse 23, refers to the spirit prison. See Bible Dictionary, Abraham's bosom. In what way did the rich man fail to use his earthly riches righteously? Remind students that the rich man in this parable represents the covetous Pharisees. What can we learn from this parable about what will happen if we are covetous and do not righteously use our earthly riches? After students respond, write the following principle on the board. If we are covetous and do not use our earthly riches righteously, we will eventually experience suffering and regret. To prepare students to identify an additional truth from this parable, invite them to think of someone they care about who is choosing to live in disobedience to the Savior's teachings. What do you think could convince that person to repent and change his or her lifestyle? Invite the assigned students to read aloud their parts in Luke 16, 27 through 31. Ask the class to follow along, looking for the rich man's request. What did the rich man want done for his five brothers? Why? What did the rich man believe would happen if Lazarus appeared to the rich man's brothers? Explain that the rich man believed his brothers would repent and be converted to the truth if Lazarus appeared to them. Conversion is, quote, changing one's beliefs, heart, and life to accept and conform to the will of God, end quote. From Guide to the Scriptures, Conversion, Convert. See also scriptures.lds.org. According to the parable, why did Abraham not send Lazarus to the rich man's brothers? Point out that by mentioning Moses and the prophets, the Savior was again referencing the scriptures that the Pharisees claimed to believe in and live by, but in reality rejected. Explain that a real man named Lazarus later became, quote, one who rose from the dead, end quote, in verse 31, when the Savior brought him back to life. Later, Jesus became the one who rose from the dead when he was resurrected. However, in both instances, the Pharisees and others rejected the evidence of the Savior's divinity and were not persuaded to repent. What truth about conversion can we learn from what Abraham taught the rich man in this parable? Students may identify a variety of truths, but make sure they identify the following truth. Conversion comes through believing and heeding the words of prophets, not by witnessing miracles or seeing angels. Why do you think conversion comes through believing and heeding the words of prophets, rather than through witnessing miracles or seeing angels? How can we help people believe and heed the words of prophets? What specific teachings from prophets have influenced your conversion? Invite students to write in their class notebooks or scripture study journals ways in which they can better believe or heed specific teachings or counsel from prophets, thereby strengthening their conversion. Encourage students to apply what they wrote.